Well, good afternoon, young men and young ladies. I'm so glad to be here with you all again. Let's see. What if I may do is ask each of you to introduce yourself, tell me your name, and also would I embarrass you if I ask you to also tell me your age? If I would embarrass you, then you don't have to. You can skip that part. But I know a lot of your faces, but I cannot put the names together because the last time I was here was 1 year ago. And I really have not spent time with you.
Oh, sorry.
And so I think this is a wonderful way to know you by name and maybe listen to you tell me something about yourself. So, can we start on my right? And Sister Kim would write their name for me. And tell their name for me and what age. And while you're introducing yourself, thinking about what is your favorite thing you like to do. Is there one favorite thing you like to do? You think about it. If you don't have one, you don't have to answer it. But if you do, I'd like to know what they are. So, shall we start with my right? Are you ready?
Not ready.
You're not really ready. Well, let me do it this way. Maybe I should introduce myself first and give you a chance to think about what answer you can give me. My name is Helen King. I live in Houston, Texas. That's in the United States of America. I am a grandmother of 6 boys, children, a girl and a boy. And my favorite thing to do, if you can guess it right now, is to read my Bible. But later on you'll find out that that was not my favorite thing to do in the past and how the Lord changed me. Okay? Perhaps, should we start in the middle? So give Joshua a little time to think. Or are you ready, Joshua? Helen. What's his name?
Callum.
Callum. Oh, Callum. Sorry, Callum. I'm giving you a new name here, aren't I? Well, welcome this afternoon. I'm happy to be with you all again and get, hopefully, by name along with your face. When the idea came to me about sharing with you this afternoon, I began to ask the Lord, what do you want to say, Lord, to these young people? I prayed. And the Lord gave me something very interesting. And it's found in Psalms 105. Psalms is in the middle of the Bible, the whole Bible. It's in the Old Testament. The book of Psalms 105. If you have it, we'll read it together. I'll read it for you in verse 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2. The word of the Lord says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, and speak of all his wonders." And then we're going to skip to verse 26. Now, this chapter is about Moses, story about Moses in Exodus. Does anybody know the story of Moses? Please raise your hand. Yeah, all of us do. Thank you. So it's, the word of the Lord here is talking about Moses, and it says here, He, meaning God sent Moses his servant and Aaron whom he had chosen. They did his wondrous acts among them and miracles in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and make it dark, and they did not rebel against his word. He turned their waters into blood and caused their fish to die. And we'll stop there because it talks about all the plagues. But what struck me in this passage I was reading was, it says here, the Lord sent Moses his servant, the Lord sent Aaron his chosen, and they perform his wondrous acts. Now it says Moses was God's servant, Aaron was God's chosen, did things for God. When I was meditating on this chapter, what struck me was this chapter was talking about God and what He's doing, and it's His people and it's His work. Everything belongs to God. There's not one thing that does not belong to Him. So, as I was asking the Lord what that meant, He began to open up a new thought to me I really appreciate, and that's what He wants me to share with you. So before we do that, let's close our eyes and bow our head. Let's all close our eyes. We're going to ask the Lord to present Himself in our midst and to tell us what He wants us to know this next hour. Let's talk to the Lord. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You. You have separated this time as we have come before Your presence and ask You, Lord, to be merciful and come and meet us. Open our eyes to see You. Open our ears to hear You. That You are not just another story we want to hear. You are real. And You want to be real in our life. Not just to come and listen about You, but every day of the week, every moment of the day, every hour, every second. That You are as close to us and even closer to us than our relatives, if we want. Show us what that means. Oh, we pray Your Spirit to teach us Your word and to hear You and see. Help us even now in Jesus' name. Amen. I am so happy to see all of you have your Bible. And what pleases me even more so is it seems like all of you might have a piece of paper and a pen with you. Most all of you do. Now, is there anyone who do not happen to have a piece or notebook or a pen? Please raise your hand. I'm going to pass this around, and I have some pen. Please take two pieces of paper, tear it off from the notebook, because you're going to be writing some things for me. This is not a schoolwork. This is fun work. On the first piece of paper, you're going to give it to me. So if you have a notebook later on, you can tear that off the notebook and give it to me. On your first piece of paper, please write your name, first name and surname on it. You can use a pen or a pen setter. So I have a question for all of us, including me. So my question to all of us is, what are we doing here today? What am I doing here? Why did I come today to this room? You think about it. What are you here for? Is it because your mom and dad says you have to come? So put number one answer in writing why you are here. Is it because mom and dad says I have to come? Or is it become? Or maybe to learn about Jesus? Or if you don't know, say, I don't know. Write down, I don't know. I'll tell you why I'm here. I'm here because the Lord sent us to England, first of all. And Dale and I love England and the people, the English people. That includes you too. And we also love our brother Flack. You know, all of you know Mr. Fred Flack, don't you? The old. If you think I'm old, he is older than me. But the old brother that loves Jesus, and we love to be with him too. And also, when the Lord said, you come to Southampton, Dale and I were very excited because we want to see you again. Because we've met you, we've known you, and we want to know how you're doing. Are you growing taller or fatter? Are you growing in Jesus? We'd like to know. Now, so, if some of you write, I'm here to know about Jesus, can I see some hands to tell me who you think Jesus is? Does any one of you know who Jesus is? Does anyone? Jacob? He is the Son of God. Any other hands can I see?
Christian?
Same thing. But what does it mean that he is Son of God? Who told you he's the Son of God? God told you. Where did he tell you? In the Bible, in his word. Anything else about Jesus? Yes? He is our Savior. Is he your Savior too? Or just other people's Savior? All of ours. Is he yours personally? Yes. And what does that mean? What's his name? Ben. Sorry, Ben. What does it mean that he is your Savior? He saved you from sin. Yes, it's a big thing. Isn't it mean to say you sinned, Ben?
Yes.
And so do I. All of us are what we call sinners. What are the kind of sin you can think of that you and I do? Can anybody think of any sin you and I do? Yes, Christian?
No.
You lie. Yes, anything else? Do you cheat? Cheating? Do you cheat in school or cheat your friend? All of us do. You know, I may not show you my sin, but do I sin? Yes. Do you know who knows I sin when I sin and you don't know? God knows our heart. And today I want to tell you who Jesus means to me. And I like that answer, he's the Son of God. But he's also the Son of Man. That means he came down, he's not only God, but he came down to earth to be man like you. But he did not sin. He did not sin. That's why he could take your sin and forgive you and save you. That's what Ben said. But there's also one thing. He is. That is very precious. And that means that is he is the creator. What does that mean? He makes you and I. He makes everything in this world. All the things that you can see and not see. Can you see the heavens and all the stars in the heavens? No, but he made them all. He is the creator. He made you and I so that you and I are here today. So my question is, we're here to hear about Jesus. So what mean to know Jesus? What for? Does anybody know what for? To know him because we belong to him. The Bible says we are His chosen, we are His servant, we are His people, and that's why He saved you and I from our sin to belong to Him. He is also Lord. Does anybody know what Lord means? Sometimes we say Lord Jesus, or Lord save us, or give us this and give us that. What does Lord mean? Does anybody ever use His name as Lord? Raise your hand. Do you ever call Jesus your Lord when you pray? Why do you call Him Lord? It means He's your master. When you have a master, what do? You listen to him. You obey your master, don't you? So be careful when Jesus is your Lord. You're calling him your, and if he's your master, you're going to do everything he tells you. Doesn't it? Like a servant and a master. A servant does everything a master tells him. Go and wash my car. Go and cook a meal for me. Go and clean my house. Go and iron my clothes. That's what a servant do for a master. So when we call Jesus our master, our Lord, we're saying, we tell us. When I was a little girl, I was not even 8 years old yet. I used to think, what am I doing here on earth? Why am I alive? Have you ever wondered that? I did. I used to question that. And the Lord was so kind and good. He brought me to us. I was the youngest of 10 children. I have 9 brothers and sisters. Anybody have big family in your home? Anybody come from a family of 5? 4? 3? Do you have 2 brothers or sisters live at home? Anybody? Or are you the only child? Raise your hand. Are you the only child? Okay. And how many comes from family of 2? There you go. How many comes from family of 3? Wow.
2.
Big family. 2?
2.
What about no 3? Nobody comes from a family of 3? What about you, Ruby? Just 2. What about you, Jenny?
5. There. Okay. Now, that's a big family. But family of 10, it's very big.
But I'm the youngest of 10 children. Do you think I became spoiled? Baby of the family? A little bit. And the Lord has to unspoil, teach me so I can, will become unspoiled. And the best part of that was when I married Dale. And I learned a lot of things, even more things than I did not know. So in the years that took place after 8, I came to know Jesus. I accepted Jesus as my Savior, like Ben has done. And then all of a sudden I said, Lord, so what now? I am a child of God. I'm born in the family of God, so I'm not only in the family of 10 children, but of thousands and thousands of God's people in God's family. And the Lord said, I'll show you. You start obeying me, and I'll show you. You start reading God's word, and I'll show you who I am. And you know, like you, I also liked to watch television, like some of you, when I was growing up. Yes, we had television, but it's all, first of all. It was not color TV. And back then, there was no computer yet, so we didn't use computer. And I liked watching television. I liked those fun family shows. And then all of a sudden the Lord said to me, Helen, there's something better than that. And I said, what could that be? He said, come to know me. Oh, I like to read magazines too. Does anybody read magazines? Like magazines? I guess that's obsolete now, isn't it? With the computer age. Okay, feels like magazine. And I love to read girls' magazines. I love to read women's magazines. How to be a good cook, how to cook all these nice dishes. And they were kind of good things. And you know, I said to the Lord, I like those things so much that maybe it has gotten more important than you. Meaning, I like to read the magazines and it's become more important than the Bible. More important than wanting to know Jesus. And I said to the Lord, well, will you change me? I can't change myself. I am spoiled. I like to do my own thing. I love myself. Lord, I can't help it. But you know, Lord can help it. Lord can change. If I want to, if you want to. And then you have to tell the Lord that. In the Bible, the Lord tells us everything He makes belongs to Him. Everything. That means you and I. That means the grass on the field, the flowers, the trees, everything. The fish in the ocean, the birds in the sky, everything He made, and everything belongs to Him, including you and I. But we have a choice, don't we? We have a choice to want Him or not. I want to give you three very brief examples in the Bible of what it means to belong to Jesus, to the Lord, who created everything. The first person I was thinking of when I was asking the Lord, what does it mean to belong to you? And the Lord said, you know, remember Noah? Does anybody know Noah? Let me see your hand. All right. What's going on with Noah? Noah was the only righteous man on earth. Everybody else were living a sinful, wicked life. Lord said, this makes me very sad to make men who would not belong to me. And He said to Noah, go and build an ark, a big, big boat, and I am going to send those animals to you, two by two, a male and a female, of every living creature, every birds in the air, three creeping things on the ground. I'm going to send them to you two by two. Did Noah have to run after the lion and be afraid of the lion biting him? No. Did he have to go, now how am I going to get those elephants? They're so big. How am I going to get them to come to the ark? No, he didn't have to do that. Why? Because the Bible says, God said, I'm going to send those animals to you. Can you imagine that? Those animals obeyed God and do what God told them? Those animals belong to God. God owned them. There is another man. His name is Elijah. This is years later, after Noah. Elijah was a prophet of God. A prophet means he is a man who tells people what God wants people to know. So he's telling people, don't sin. God doesn't like us to sin. Or he'll tell people, repent. You have sinned. Come back to Him. That's what a prophet does. Elijah was telling the people, God is going to send judgment because of their sin. And he went to talk to King Ahab. And he said, God is going to send a drought. Meaning there's not going to be a rain and all the crops are going to die. And when the crops die in the field, what happens? There's no... Can you imagine if it doesn't rain in here in England for 1 month? You wonder, oh my. Sometimes we complain there's too much rain in England. But if you imagine it doesn't rain for a day, 5 days, 10 days, 20 days, and then you begin to wonder, who's going to water our fields, all the corn, all the grain? Who's going to water the sugar cane for sugar? If God doesn't water it, we don't have water. And when we have no water, we have no food because nothing can grow. So Elijah told King Ahab, because of the wickedness of you, the king, and the people, because of your sin, God is going to send judgment. There's not going to be a rain. So when after Elijah told the king that, the Lord said to Elijah, now I want you to go to Jordan River. I want you to live there. He didn't have a house. Elijah didn't have a tent. He just lived out in the open. And you sometimes, so what is life about eating? About drinking? How is he going to live? God sent a raven. Do you know what a raven is? A bird, the black bird. God sent a raven, a bird, and to come to Elijah every morning with bread in his mouth, to come to give to Elijah. And then he, in the evening, the raven comes back with meat in his mouth or beak to feed Elijah. So God used a bird to feed his people during hard times. Who owns the raven? Who? Who's that? Yes, Matthew? God. Who owns Elijah? Who? Yes, God. Who owns the bread and the meat? Yes, Jacob? God. God owns everything. He is the rightful owner, and he can do everything right. Elijah followed the Lord. Followed the Lord. The third person I want to share very quickly, and all of you know the story, but I want to show you the significance, the importance of what it means when God, who is in control of everything, when he owns everything, he can make it happen even though it's not normal. Is it normal for a bird to come and give you food? No. Is it normal for a lion to come to you and obey you? No. But it did for Noah and it did for Elijah. The third person we're going to find out is Jonah. Now, this is a little twist in the story. Jonah was also a prophet of the Lord. He was supposed to go to this country and warn them about the impending doom of this nation if they don't turn back to God. So did Jonah like to do that? No. Jonah said, nuh-uh, I'm not going to this country. I'm not going to the king. I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm not going to tell them that you are going to punish them if they continue to disobey you. No, I'm going to run away. So he did. Now, God has a plan. Girls, there's one thing you want to know and I want to know that's very important. God has a plan. Back in the Old Testament days, God had a plan in the New Testament days. And God has a plan and a purpose today for you and I. God had a plan, what he was going to do. He wanted Nineveh to be warned. He wanted this country to be warned of their sin. And he sent Jonah. Jonah didn't want to do it, but it's going to happen, whether Jonah wanted to or not. And so God sent what? A big fish to swallow up Jonah so God could make his plan work to bring Jonah back. Have you ever heard of a big thing up in men without killing him? No, I haven't. And for that matter, staying in the belly of the big fish for 3 days and three nights, and for that matter, stinky 3 days in the stomach's belly. Fish smells bad sometimes when they are not fresh. But can you imagine? And Jonah said when he was inside the belly of the, he said, I am choking. The seaweeds are all around me choking me. I can't breathe. I am so uncomfortable. It stinks down here. It doesn't feel good. Did Jonah repent? What does repent mean? Do you know what repent means? Anybody know what repent means? Yes. Ask God to forgive us, right? It's called changing our mind and doing what God wants. And he said, God, forgive me. I'm going this way. I want to turn around. I change my mind and I'm doing God's way. Repenting, that's asking the Lord to forgive us. Did the Lord forgive Jonah? He sure did. And did Jonah later obey the Lord? He sure did. So, boys and girls, or men and young lady, I want you to know today how important it is to remember God owns nothing. He owns you and I, but you and I have to want Him to own us, because you and I have a choice. If you forget everything I said today, it's all right. But don't forget this one thing. Today, on your second piece of paper, write, I have a choice. Another piece of paper, write down, I have a choice. On the next line, write, to follow Jesus or to follow myself. And today means every day. Do you understand what I mean, Angela? Do you understand when I say today means every day? So every day you wake up in the morning, it's a new day. That new day, I have a choice to follow Jesus or to follow myself. Tomorrow morning is, what day is tomorrow? Sunday. Tomorrow morning when you wake up in the morning, you have a choice to follow Jesus or to follow yourself. I have a choice too. And the question is, do I want to follow Jesus or do I want to follow myself? I'll tell you what. On the next line, say, write down, if I follow Jesus, number one, it pleases the Father. Write down, it pleases the Father. What does it mean to please the Father? Write down, it makes God happy. Tell me, does everybody in this room like to be happy? Who wants to be happy today? Raise your hand. I do too. I want to be happy. Okay, thank you. And how can you be happy? By following Jesus, by choosing Jesus. So number two, not only is the Father happy, but I am happy. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, seek me first in my kingdom, and all these things will be given to you. Whatever things you need. It's hard for us to believe that, isn't it?
I'd rather have my way sometimes than doing what Jesus do. Does everybody have feel that sometimes? That I'd rather do my own thing than listening to my mom and dad? Yes, we all do, because we are sinners. Girls, when you leave this room, please understand, you and I are sinners, and we are prone to make mistakes, and we like to do wrong things. But Jesus has come to earth, and has changed that. He has changed that for you and I. And what do you and I have to do? Tell him. Please tell Jesus everything that's in your heart. Everything that you don't like. Please tell him. And if your mom says, Matthew, I don't want you to go and play with this boy today. And then you go, but my friend already and I talk about what we're going to do. We were going to have so much fun. And mom and dad said no. And you get so mad, you slam your bedroom window and you go and hide under the bed. And you may cry, you may be angry. No. We can't help it, but Jesus can. So, I want you to do something for me when that happens to me too. I want you to tell Jesus about it. And said, I'm miserable. I hate myself when I'm angry like that. I can't help it. Lord, forgive me, cleanse me from my sin, and change my attitude. Is he going to do it? Yeah, because you ask him. If you don't ask him, he can't do it. Jesus said, you have not because you don't ask. Ask in my name and I will give it to you. And Jesus, you know why Jesus can do it? Because for 33 and a half years when Jesus was, who is God, who became man like you and I, for 33 and a half years when he lived here on earth a perfect life. His life was not easy. You might think it was easy, but it was not. He had brothers and sisters who made fun of him. When he was growing up, he had to help his father doing work in the carpentry business. He had to take care of his younger brothers and sisters. And they make fun of him. They don't like him. Did he fight back? No. He was kind to his brothers and sisters. When he was in the temple, when people make fun of him there, did he get angry? No. When you ask Jesus to come into your life, he wants to change you and I. He doesn't want to just let you go to heaven. That's the easy part. He wants to change you and I inside out. He wants to change your bad attitude and my bad attitude to a happy attitude. He wants to change your grumpiness when you cannot have your way. He wants to change it to make you a happy person. Boys and girls, there are people on this earth that I don't like. I'm sure in school or maybe in the church, there are people you don't like. And I can't help it. I just don't like this kind of person and that kind of person. And the Lord said, why don't you ask me to change your heart? So that you can like that person and like that person. So I did. Did the Lord change my heart? Yeah. And he's still changing it. Because I'm not perfect. Are you perfect, boys and girls? Do you think you're perfect? You can do everything right? You can't? I can't either. Every day, something happens. To tell me, Oh, I need to confess my sin to the Lord. So, when you go out of this room, everything out there is not going to be perfect. Something is going to be wrong to you. Whether it's your mother, whether it's your father, whether it's your teacher, your friend, somebody in the church that's older than you, and the Lord said, I want you to love them. I want you to listen to them and obey them. And you said, Lord, change my heart. I want to obey happily. Does anybody ever cheat in school? You don't have to answer me that. The Lord Jesus knows you and I in our heart. If you have you done something about it? I think the first most important thing is ask Jesus to forgive you. And the second best thing is to go and tell the teacher you had cheated on this answer. I tell you, when you ask someone to forgive you, it feels good, doesn't it? When you wrong somebody and you said, I'm sorry, I was not nice to you, forgive me. It makes the Lord, I will give you a peaceful heart when you do that. If you ever wrong your mother or father, if you ever look at them funny and angry at them, please go to them and say, I'm sorry, Mom. Forgive me. That would not only make you happy, it make our Lord Jesus very happy. All the heavens rejoice. Mom and Dad happy. It's called being able to come together again. Does any one of you have enemies, meaning people you don't like? And when you have enemies you don't like, when you become friends, isn't that a good feeling? That's what Jesus is about today and every day. It's changing our life so that we become a better person for Him, happier. Does everybody feel like they can be happier? Do you feel like you can be happier? Yeah. You like to be happier. Yes. What is the answer? Can someone tell me what the answer is?
Georgina.
How can you be happy
when you forgive someone? If you prefer the other person?
And sometimes it might be hard to forgive. You keep thinking, but I did not do anything wrong. Why did that person so mean to me? And you go to the Lord and you said, Lord, give me your forgiving spirit. Once you said that, He will set you to do it. But you have to do it. I have to do it. So, what is your first question there? What is my choice? Today is my choice to obey Him or to obey myself. What other things happen when you obey Jesus? Can anybody think of anything that had happened to you if when you obey Jesus? It makes Father happy, God happy, it makes me happy. Is there anything else? If you obey Jesus and follow Him and do what He tells you, you become a testimony. Can you write that down? I become a testimony of Jesus. What does that mean? That means when they look at you, they'll say, oh, that person is different. That person must belong to Jesus. It means I belong to Him. And this will glorify God. The fourth point. It will glorify God. That means everybody will say, wow, God did a wonderful thing to change Helen King. No longer grumpy. I was a grumpy girl because I wanted my way. And all of a sudden, I said, Lord, you got to change that. What does it mean to choose God?
choose God means?
There's that song, the best book to read, a Bible.
What does that mean? It means spending time with God, get to know Him. Choosing God means getting to know Jesus. Does everybody read their Bible at one time or another in their life? Does anybody read the Bible every day in this room, little ones? Can I see any hand? You don't have to raise. You don't have to be embarrassed and not raising your hand. Does anyone read the Bible every day? Thank you. Do you know what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? Sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't. And you know, I'll tell you the best secret that I have when I don't understand the Bible. What I do. When I was one time, all the time when I'm reading the Bible, I would say, oh, I wonder what that means. Sometimes I will pursue it. Sometimes I just skip it, saying maybe there will be another time I will find out. If I pursue it, I would look at a commentary to see what it means. I would ask somebody who I know the Bible better than me to tell me what that means. And one of the people I asked sometimes was Dale, my husband. And I'll say, oh, can you tell me what this means? And he'll tell me. And I'll say, oh, yeah, that's good. One day we were traveling. We were in somebody's home. Dale was with other brothers very early in the morning, having fellowship. I was still in bed. That was how early it was. It was before breakfast. It was like 6 o'clock in the morning. So when I woke up soon after that, I opened my Bible and I start reading it. And there was something in there that caught my interest, but I didn't understand. So I said, Dale is not here to tell me what the answer is. Maybe I'll check this house and see this person's home we live in while we're visiting them. Maybe in their library, they would have a commentary to explain in the Bible, the book, what that verse means. So I went and looked, looking for shelves, looking for books. I couldn't find anything. Any book that would explain that verse to me. So I went back to bed, had my Bible open, thought I'll skip it. And I'll read the next verse, and then maybe I can ask Dale later on. All of a sudden, a voice said to me, why don't you ask me? I go, who's there? Who's the Lord Jesus telling me? Why don't I ask Him? I said, okay, Lord, what does this mean to me, to you? Would you explain to me? And as I was pondering, meditating on that verse, all of a sudden, a thought came to my mind. And I believe it was Jesus' thought as an answer to that question I had. And I said, wow, that's good. I understand this verse now. But you know, silly me, I waited until Dale comes home. I thought, maybe I'll check with Dale and see what he thinks. Imagine I was testing that voice. So Dale came home at 8:39. After breakfast, I said, you know, honey, tell me what this verse means to you. And the answer he gave me was the same thought that was given to me. What am I trying to tell you, boys and girls? I'm trying to tell you, if you talk to Jesus, He will talk back to you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If you forget everything I said today, this, that when you talk to Jesus, He will talk back to you. Look, you can write that down. Chances are, if you don't want to know, you will not know. If you want to know Jesus, you will know.
He will make sure you will know.
I read a biography one day about this man who wanted a Bible so bad. He was in China. Someone told him about Jesus and that you can know Jesus from the Bible. And so he said, I want a Bible. Where can I get it? And the man said, you pray. You ask the Lord for a Bible. You know, back in those days, that was many years ago, no one is allowed to own a Bible. And if you own a Bible, they're going to persecute you. They're going to go to your house and search your house to see if you have any Bible in your house. And then if they find it, persecute you. They're going to hurt you. But this man heard about Jesus, and he said, I want to know Jesus more. Where can I find one? And this brother said, I can't give you, because the only Bible I have is this portion. What had happened was somebody had a whole Bible, and they tore out portion by portion and hand each person a little portion to read. That's how hard it was to get a Bible. And this brother who had this portion of the Bible will not give it away and said, you have to ask God for it. If you do, he'll give it to you. So he prayed. He prayed for 1 week, nothing happened. He prayed the second week, nothing happened. I can't remember how long, but it could have been a month or 2 months. All of a sudden, there was a voice saying, I want you to go to that house. But he didn't know that person in that village, but the voice said, I want you to go there. So he did. And guess what? That person, God told him to give that Bible to this man. There's going to be a man that's going to come into your house today, and I want you to give him your Bible. That's it. And this man said, okay, Lord. He waited a knock at the door, and this man said, I'm supposed to come to you. And this guy who lived in the house said, I know, Jesus told me I have a Bible to give to you. That's it. God is doing things today for you and I, if you and I want to. He is saying, talk to me. Say, listen. He's saying, if you read something you don't understand, ask me. I will explain it to you. He's saying, are you having trouble studying? Ask me for wisdom. I'll give it to you. Ask me to help you remember everything you studied. To do well in school, he'll help you. God's goal for you and I is to make you and I like Jesus. That is God's goal. Do you have a goal right now? Do you want to grow up and become a doctor, a teacher, a lawyer, a bus driver? You may have a goal, but God has a plan for you, each one of you, just like he has planned for us adults. Sister here, myself, and three other sisters. He has a goal. He has a plan for you. And it's up to you to ask him what it is, to show you. And the best way is to start with to be a girl happy for him. Where you are now, Angela. Where you are now, Georgiana. And Grace. And if it means going home and being happy at home, and pleasing mom and dad, do it with a happy heart, a glad heart. Does everybody have a happy heart right now to go home to be a good little girl or boy for mom and dad? If you don't, ask the Lord to change that right now. He wants to. If you want to remain unhappy, miserable, he can't do anything unless you ask. Close your eyes now, everyone. Close your eyes for a minute. Don't mind the person sitting next to you. Close your eyes, please. If you means you have to put your hands over your eyes so that it's closed, do so. Close your eyes. I want you to think about what we just said. We cannot be happy apart from Jesus. You and I just cannot be happy. Jesus was a happy man, a joyful man. Jesus was a peaceful man. Jesus was an obedient son of the Heavenly Father, son of Mary and Joseph. He just was. He was God. And if you don't know Jesus, and if you have not asked Jesus to come into your heart, to give you a new life, that you will be a changed person, changed from your miserable past to a joyful, happy heart. If you want that, you can ask Jesus. If you already have Jesus living in your heart, but you're still miserable, you can ask Jesus to change you. So there are two things. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, you can ask Him to come and live in your heart. And if you have Jesus in your heart and you're still miserable, unhappy, and say, Lord, change my heart. Let it be yours. Go ahead and do it now. You don't have to have fancy words. You just say, Lord, do it. I can't change. But I want you to change me. I want to please you. I'm not happy. I'm not happy I'm home. I'm not happy with his parents. If I change parents, I probably wouldn't be happy. I am just not a happy girl or a happy boy. But you can change me. If you want Jesus to change you, go ahead and raise your hand. Everybody's eyes closed. It's none of anybody's business. You can go ahead and raise your hand if you want Jesus to change you. And I will pray for you. Close your eyes. Okay, you can now put your hands down. Father, I just thank you how much you love us. You love us. Up to the oldest, from the most miserable to the most unhappy people. You love us without regard of our sin. You love us without measure. Lord, here we are. We're empty. We're unhappy. We just sin a lot. We want to ask you to forgive us, to change our heart. Each one of my dear, dear friends here, change each heart. Let each heart say, let it be not my own, but let it be yours. To love you, change this heart that loves self to love you. Change this heart from being unhappy at home to be joyful, pleasing mom and dad. Thank you, Lord, because we ask this in your name. You said, ask in my name and I'll give it to you. And we not ask for ourselves only, but ask for your name, for your sake, for your kingdom, for your church. Do it, Lord. Here we are. Fill us and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to tell you something, boys and girls. It's not magic now. Whoever raised your hand, whoever you are who had raised your hand, you know who you are. Go out the door. It's not going to be magic that, oh, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to obey my parents every day. It's not. It's going to be an exercise every day. That means your old self is going to rise and want to be angry, want to be grouchy, want to disobey mom and dad, want to hate this, want to. It's still going to happen. But that's why I say every day you have a choice. Every day you said, Lord, when you wake up in the morning before you jump out of bed, when your eyes first open, you said, Lord, I am yours today. I belong to you, and change my heart today and make me like Jesus. And so when something happens to you in the middle of the day, you get angry, and all of a sudden you remember, I don't want to be angry. I don't want to choose my own life. I don't want to choose my way. Lord, forgive me. Change this heart right now. He'll do it. So it's instant. It's all the time. It's every minute when something happens. And as it happens, you begin to see, oh, yeah, I'm not angry anymore. And sometimes it comes back. And you're reminded, oh, that man, that boy just makes me angry. And you said, Lord, forgive me. Change my heart to pray for that boy. Change my heart to love that boy or that person that you don't like. And he'll do it. But you have to ask. I cannot ask for you. I cannot be with you 24 hours a day. But Jesus is. That's how good he is. That's how great he is. Everybody knows how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. That's how great he is. That's how beautiful he is. That's how perfect he is. That's how grand he is. That's how miraculous he is. Just because you can't see him doesn't mean he's not there. If you believe him, he will do it. Wonders to you. I'll tell you another part of my story. I'm not finished. God is still changing me. I'm not perfect. But I thank God he is not leaving me out in the dump and said, well, forget her. She's hopeless. No. God loves me so much. Each one of us too much to say that. If we want him, he'll take us. And he'll change us. I told you I was the most selfish person. I told you I'm the youngest of 10 children. And I got a lot of my ways. And that was, we think that was sort of good. But that is not good. Because you get used to everything my way, everything what I want. And it's supposed to, it's not, I didn't get what I want, I get angry. Oh, I'm miserable when I'm angry. So I said, Lord, you got to change this, Helen. I don't like this Helen King. You got to change it. So the Lord began to change me. He put things in my life, people in my life, to say, to show me how ugly I really am because I react to them. 2 years ago, the Lord surprised me when he let our son and daughter-in-law to ask us to move in and live with them. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have a son. He has 2 children. He has a wife. They want Dale and I to move in with them, to live with them. I said. And that thought, the Lord had planted that thought in my heart many years ago, saying, you know, Helen, one of the things I would like you to do is consider living with somebody else. Or possibly changing your lifestyle. Whew, that was a hard one. I said, Lord, I'm not sure I like that. But if I'm supposed to do that, the secret is change my heart. Let me want to do it. So I keep praying that. And then one day, Our son asked, Dad and Helen, would you come and live with us? Now, technically, his name is Chip. Technically, Chip is not my son. Chip is Dale. Dale was married before to another woman, and Dale has 2 children from his first wife.
And then his first wife died. My first husband died also. And Dale and I became single people. And God brought us together to get married. So technically, Chip's two children are my stepson. You all hear fairy tales about stepmothers, stepsons, how wicked those things are. And I said, oh Lord, I pray I never be a wicked stepmother. Anyway, so this Chip said, Dad and Helen, would you come and move in with us? Would you live with us? And I said, oh boy, I need to hear from you, Lord. Is this from you? Do you want us? You, Lord, want me to live with Chip and Gloria in the two boys. Knowing how selfish I am, I love to do my own thing. I love my way. I love my own time. I like simple life. I like to be quiet. I don't like to live with other people. Lord, you have to change my heart. If it's your will. So I began, continue to read God's word. And I said, Lord, there is something in your word that would tell me, yes, Helen, you go and do that. And guess what? The Lord did, because it was his will. So when Dale was very smart, he would not consent to live with Chip and Gloria. I have to make that decision. He left it to me to make that. So I prayed. I said, Lord, I know you want me, you want us to now make this work for your name, to make you happy. I'll do it. But you have to change me. So we did. That means we have to sell our house. Because we live, Dale and I have our own home. How do we sell? The market was not good. Everybody said this and this and that. You have to do this, this and this and that. And we want to be as simple as possible. And we said, Lord, if you say we're supposed to move out of our house, that means our house has to be sold. You have to sell it. You have to do it. And you do it at the right time, your right way, everything. You have to do it. You tell God, if you want me to do it, I will do it, but you detail, you have to work it out. We have to tell the Lord that. We don't just expect it. He waits for us to tell him. And so, we did. I did. One morning, I was reading my Bible early before breakfast. All of a sudden, in the Word, like a voice again, the Lord said to me, Helen, you pray the house, someone would come into the house today, someone will look at the house today, and someone, that one person, will make an offer for that house today. You pray that right now. I said, okay, Lord, I will pray. I don't know how that could be. The house just went to the market last week. No one has come to look at the house yet. And the Lord said, you pray. So I did. I prayed, Lord, you told me to do it. I pray. You make it happen. I believe it. I believe you're going to make it happen. Later in the morning, around 11 o'clock, the realtor called us. Realtor agent, the agent who represents us to sell the house, saying, there's somebody who's going to come and look at your house at so-and-so time. Can they do that? And we said, yes, please. That means we will leave the house so that people can come and look who wants to buy our house. So we left. But we're so curious. I'm kind of looking to see if we can wait until those people come and see who they are. But we didn't get a chance. But we believe it. Within 3 days, that couple made an offer on our house. That couple said to the agency, we want to buy that house. Exactly the amount you asked for. Wow. Did we thank the Lord? Thank the Lord. Lord said, I'm going to make it happen. You just ask. And so the next step was, we got to pack the house. And you understand what that means, packing Brother Black's home to move him.
And I'm one of those that likes to keep everything. So I have to go to every room and I said, Lord, I need help. I don't like to throw things away. I need to throw them away or give them away. So help me. So the Lord did. You know something else happened? The Lord told Dale to tell me that when we move to this new house, it's not our house anymore. It's our children's house, number one. Number two, the kitchen is not my kitchen anymore. And all of you sisters understand what your kitchen means. You don't, little ones, but the older sister do. It's not your kitchen anymore. It's Gloria's kitchen, my daughter-in-law. That means you don't decide what to eat. You don't decide what you want. It's going to be Gloria deciding the menu. And you just ask Gloria, what do you want me to do? I said, Lord, I need help. Because only one person can decide things. Have you ever had two people decide what they want and they're different? Does it work? No. If Ben and Colin both wants to play together and both wants to decide that what it's going to be they play. One says football, the other say baseball. Will it work? Can you play together, one playing football and one playing baseball? No. One has to give up his right. And the quicker it is when you said, I give up my right. And so Dale says, give up your right, Helen. This is Gloria's home. This is Gloria's kitchen. She gets to decide. And did it work? Yeah. If I give it up, it was easy. We can live happily together. If there's any one moment, I don't like that. How come I never get a chance to decide what I want? If I do that, I'm miserable. Jesus can't do anything. But if I say, okay, Lord, it's okay. Give me peace and give me love and give me joy. That comes in. I am free. Free to be happy. And did it work? Yes. I tell you it worked. Today, if you want your way about something and you fight your mom and dad, it's not going to work. If you said, okay, yes, yes, mother, whatever mom wants, you listen and obey. And quickly you say a prayer, Lord, give me a happy heart to say yes. I love to do it. I love to do what mother tells me to do. Joy comes in. Peace. And mother is pleased. The Lord is praised. God is happy and you are. That's my story today, boys and girls. You can be happy. And I can be happy for the rest of our life. But only take what? One day at a time. Can you say that with me? One day at a time. And every morning when you wake up, Jesus, my life is yours. What do you want today? I want to follow you. That's what it means to belong to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. And now put it in our heart to remember what you want us to remember. Only remembering what you want us, put it in our heart and let us follow you every day, one day at a time, all for your namesake, all for your joy, for your delight, and for your glory and testimony. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.